Welcome to Christian Education Net Talks. In this series of talks, I want to speak to you about the plays of William Shakespeare. Why Shakespeare? Because I believe that the study of literature is one of the best ways to learn wisdom, and in the literature of the West, there is nothing that is superior to Shakespeare. Now, not all Christians are going to agree with me that the study of literature is a good way to gain wisdom, or that the study of Shakespeare is a good way to study literature. I have met, for example, Christians who find the very idea of fiction to be a problem. To them, fiction is lies, and it seems unspiritual. For others who may be interested in literature, Shakespeare seems old and difficult. Even if we wanted to study his plays, how can we read that difficult old English and make any sense out of those ancient stories? Before I can introduce any of Shakespeare's plays, I need to answer these kinds of questions. So, in my first few talks on Shakespeare, I would like to offer a few brief arguments in favor of Christians studying literature in general, and then Shakespeare in particular. To begin with, then, why should we, as Christians, study literature and teach it to our children? Let me make two simple points. First, God has made us to be story-oriented creatures. Stories, in other words, are fundamental to our lives, basic to the way that we think. Consider, for example, the whole notion of history. What we call history is just a story. It's a dramatic story, filled with tragedy, romance, comedy, and suspense. As Christians, we learn history, the story of the world, first of all and primarily in the Bible. There we learn that God is working in history and that He is leading history. In fact, we learn that God has planned history from before the creation of the world. We are told in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, that Jesus is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Think about what that means. It implies that before God created the world, He planned the cross of Christ. That means that He planned to send His own Son into the world to save us from our sins. He knew that Adam would fall. He knew that we would follow Adam. And God planned for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem, to be rejected by the Jews, and to die on the cross. In fact, God planned much more. For when we read the Gospels, we are amazed at the number, complexity, and detail of the prophecies fulfilled in the life of our Lord. Clearly, this means that the story was already written, so to speak, before Adam was created. Now, what we have pointed out here with reference to Jesus applies to every example of predictive prophecy in the Bible. Daniel predicted the rise of the Persian, Greek, and Roman empires in the years following the decline of Babylon. He lived to see his prophecies begin to be fulfilled, but the story that he predicted took hundreds of more years to be completely fulfilled. Another amazing example is found in Isaiah. In chapter 44, verse 28,